Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Dr. Bob Bell, professor of Bible in the BJU Seminary. The title of his message is The Cure for Remorse. The text is from Isaiah 38, verse 17.
I read an account from a pastor who lived during the first half of the 20th century. And he told about a man that he had never seen in his church. He was aware of this man because the man's sister attended the church, and the man would sometimes give her money to put in the offering. But the man never came. When the pastor was going to leave that ministry, the man came to visit him. And the man assured the pastor that he believed the gospel, that he wanted to serve and help the church. The problem was that the man faced was that he had done something in the past that was so horrible that he was concerned that if he came to church or if he joined the church, that it would reflect on the testimony of the church. And so he stayed away. Now, Paul says about Satan, we are not ignorant of his devices. One of the weapons that the devil uses is to defeat us, to defeat the believer, is remorse for past sins. Brooding over the sins we have committed in the past can sap us of spiritual strength. Obviously, it had paralyzed this man. In other words, he wouldn't even come to church because of his concern. Now, some of you here today have had to counsel Christians with this problem. Some of you will be counseling those who are worrying about past transgressions, wondering if God can really forgive them. Many of you will face this spiritual battle in your own life as Satan accuses you. The scripture makes it clear that he is the accuser. We know that he went before God and he accused Job. And we know that Satan, the way he spoke to Eve, that he was accusing God and saying what God told you is not right. So he accuses us to God, he accuses God to us. And one of the tactics that he uses is that he tells us, you're so wicked that God can't use you. And he may even get a Christian to wonder if God can really forgive him. This morning, let us contemplate the cure for remorse, for this kind of remorse that I'm talking about. What is the cure for this remorse? I want to start off with the fact of the case. There is an important fact for the Christian, and you're all aware of this, but we want to stress this point. On the basis of the work of Christ, God has forgiven those who are united to Christ. That is, those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus. The Bible is very clear that God has promised His children that He will not remember our sins against us. Our text this morning is Isaiah 38:17. This is a prayer of Hezekiah when the Lord graciously lengthened his life. And in verse 17 of chapter 38, the second half of the verse, Hezekiah acknowledged God's forgiveness by saying, "For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Now, if we go further in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 43:25, God says, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my name's sake, and will not remember thy sins." The next chapter in Isaiah, the Lord speaks again, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." In Psalm 102, David exclaimed, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." The prophet Micah, in 7:19 of his book says, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. We have this promise in the new covenant. In Jeremiah 31:34, the second half of the verse, God says, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. In the New Testament, the book of Hebrews makes this point twice from the new covenant of Jeremiah. For I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 8:12. Then in 10:17, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. So that promise is repeated there. All right, that is the fact of the case. That is the fact of the case. Now, secondly, let's talk about our response to that fact. And let's start with the wrong response to this fact. And I would say the wrong response to this fact is trying to forget your sins. That's the wrong response. Many times believers have been urged in this situation to do what Paul mentions in Philippians 3:13, second half of the verse. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And so the idea is, look, God doesn't remember your sins against you. Now you need to what? Forget your sins, since God doesn't remember them. But notice the context of this passage in Philippians. Paul is talking about the good things that he has done. Verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse 9, not having mine own righteousness. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained. So Paul is talking about running a race and that he's not reflecting on how well he's done so far and looking back and say, wow, look how far I'm ahead of the other runners. But he's looking forward and pressing on to the end. A runner can lose a race by looking back over his shoulder at his opponents. And the fact is that many Christians try to forget their sins and they remember all the things they've done for the Lord. And they focus on that and try to forget their sins. Yes, God has promised not to remember your sins, but it does not follow that you should forget them. I have a distant relative. He is the husband of a second cousin. So not exactly really close family member. So this is my mom's first cousin, and so she would be my second cousin, and then this man is married to her. When I was 20 years old, I was going home from summer school, and I stopped off at my great aunt's house on the way home, and I happened to be at my great aunt's house on the day of my 20th birthday. And this man, who had graduated from Bob Jones probably about 15 years before I did, I remember that day he came over and he gave me a kiss on the forehead and he said, happy birthday, and he handed me a $20 bill. Some 20 years later, I was visiting in his home. And I said, you know, I remember that on my 20th birthday, you gave me $20. He looked at me and he said, you know, I have no memory of that. I have no memory of that. Now, I like to put it this way. It's to his credit that he does not remember doing that favor for me. It would not be to my credit if I forgot his favor. See, the fact that he forgot it, that's an asset to him. If I forget favors that people have done, that is not an asset to me. Let's say that you had a debt and you owed a friend $50 and you'd borrowed this money and you weren't able to pay it back for quite a while. And so after many months, you finally got around to repaying your friend. When you handed him a $50 bill, he said, "What is this for?" You told him, and he said, "Oh, I'd forgotten all about that." You then said, "Well, in that case, let me take the money back, and I'll forget about it too." That would not reflect well upon you. Now, let's see what Moses told the Israelites when they were about to enter the Promised Land. If you'll turn to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9 and find verse 7. Moses is reminding them that they're going to go into the Promised Land and God is going to fulfill this promise that he made to the patriarchs that the land was going to be given to them. In verse 7, Moses says to them, "Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord." So here's Moses telling them to remember what they had done. Now realize this was after Moses had interceded for them and the Lord had forgiven them. And yet Moses is driving this home. Remember and forget not what you did to the Lord. And in the context, one of the things that Moses is concerned about is self-righteousness. Of their thinking about themselves, "Hey, I've got these wonderful promises. I must be pretty good." Notice, too, what God told the Israelites about the future after his promise, after giving them the promise to restore them. In Ezekiel 36, verse 31, the Lord says, "Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good." So this is the same God who said, "I won't remember their sins against them anymore." And then he's telling them, "Remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good." Let's see what Paul told the Ephesians. Ephesians 2:11. "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles." Well, for these Ephesians, as soon as they remembered what they were, being Gentiles and not Jews, there's all this corruption of the pagans. "In time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." Why remind them of what they were? After mentioning sins like stealing, getting drunk, extorting, Paul tells the Corinthian Christians, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed." And what about Paul himself? Did he forget about his past sins? 1 Corinthians 15:9, "For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." 1 Timothy 1:13. Well, let's turn to that passage. 1 Timothy 1:13. And let's read verse 13. We'll come back and mention verse 12 later. "Who was before," Paul talking about himself, "who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." So Paul remembered that he was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. All right, then what is the right response to this fact? This fact that God will not remember our sins against us. There are two things that you and I should do to avoid the remorse of our past sins, to avoid this gloomy brooding when we think of our past sins. The first thing is to believe what God has said, that he has forgiven our sins and that he's not remembering these things. Faith is the victory. I have read you verse after verse of God's promises to forgive and to clear our record of guilt. Simply believe what God has told you in his word. Because you and I know it is impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18. And so as the devil reminds us of this, we need to remember what God has already done for us. And we need to be able to say to the devil, yes, I was a great sinner, but God has forgiven me. And God has promised not to remember my sins against me. The second thing we need to do, the first thing is believe. The second thing is rejoice. If you and I really believe this wonderful fact, that our sins are blotted out, that God has put them behind his back, that he's cast them into the depth of the sea, that as far as the east is from the west, he's put these away from him. How could we not rejoice when we think of this, when we meditate on that? I have a theory. If the devil reminds us of our past wickedness, and we remember that God has said we are forgiven, and then we start rejoicing, that is, we start a praise party, then this has to be somewhat discouraging for the devil. Right? I mean, he's trying to defeat us by bringing these things up. And if every time he brings them up, we go ahead and contemplate them and then rejoice in what God has told us, that's got to be discouraging. Why remind the Christian about past sins if he's going to, if he's not going to be brooding, but instead rejoicing? Notice what Paul says when he remembers that he persecuted the church in 1 Timothy 1, where we were. Let's look at verse 12. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And then he contrasts what he was before in verse 13 that we've already read. Now look at verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So Paul's remembering how bad he was. But he's not brooding over it. He's what? He's rejoicing. He's rejoicing. Romans 5:20, second half of the verse. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So my challenge to us this morning is to remember what we've done against God. Because without remembering what we've done against God, we're not going to appreciate how great that salvation is, how wonderful that salvation is. And we could become self-righteous and start thinking of ourselves as deserving somehow. So let's remember our sins, not brood over them, but remember them. And every time we remember them, to rejoice in this great salvation. And so as we pour through the scriptures, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Let's get these things into our heart of how wonderful the Lord is in doing all of this. The word of God does so many things for us. If you are in heaviness because of brooding, the Bible will comfort you. But it comforts you by telling you the truth about God. And then we can respond to that truth. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we confess to you that we have sinned. We sinned before you saved us. And even after you saved us, we've been unfaithful to you many times. And we've done things that we shouldn't have done. And we've left undone things that we should have done. Lord, we're ashamed of ourselves because of this. But praise be to Christ that we can say today, I have been forgiven. You've told us that if a brother asks us to, for forgiveness 7 times in a day, we're to forgive him. And that encourages us that that's what you do for us, and that we can come to you and ask for forgiveness, and you give us that forgiveness, and you do not remember our sins against us. And Lord, we rejoice in this. We feel triumphant in this. And we pray that your Spirit will quicken our minds and remind us of these things from your word, that we may rejoice and that the joy of the Lord may fill our lives.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Bob Bell, professor of Bible in the BJU Seminary. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.